Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome to Lutheran Radio UK, your healthy digital radio addiction, where we have for you now another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. This week we're looking at Luke chapter 1 verses 39 to 56, where we see exactly how we are truly blessed in Christ. So from the English Standard Version, our text reads, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." Count your blessings, we are told. Be grateful for all you have, all that God has given you. Not bad advice, but believe it or not, this may actually present us with a potential problem. For when people do this, they tend to not only recount what is good for them, but that which makes them happy. And we should note that what makes us happy isn't always good for us. Do I hear you gasp? And not only that, guess where on this list these items are in relation to what's actually good for us? Sadly, more of what just makes us happy today is on the top of the list. It's a priority over and against the blessings that are actually good for us, that are used for the purpose God has given them to us in the first place. If I told you that wealth is one of the things that are high up on our list of blessings, and that it is actually more a matter of our happiness than actually being good for us, how would you respond? Well, let's try to see it objectively. Why should wealthy people consider themselves more blessed than poor people? What is it about wealth that we are actually counting as a blessing? Wealth is essentially a tool. Wealth means we can purchase something for our convenience. Therefore, what this really means is that we think we have a pretty good idea of how wealth can bring some good to my life. But by that, what we are to see is that sometimes, if not often, this also usually means what makes me happy. Or how many of us actually think of wealth as a tool with which to do good for others. And we're just scratching the surface here. In truth, sometimes counting one's blessings may actually miss the point of what it means to be blessed by God. I mean, isn't that what the Pharisee was doing when he prayed in the temple, quite openly, and in abuse of his neighbor standing next to him? "Lord, let me praise you by counting my blessings," he prayed, as if that which the Lord had given him was for his good alone. Now, let me show you the right way to pray, and so how to count our blessings. And for this, we need look no further than our gospel for today. The setting? Mary is visiting her cousin Elizabeth, and she says a prayer. And this prayer, in turn, is received in such a wonderful way as for us to understand the true nature of both blessedness and goodness. The heart of the matter is, essentially, we are blessed by God through the presence of Christ. Yes, through the presence of the incarnate Christ we are being blessed by God. And this is not to speak of mere subjective happiness, but of an objective goodness that cannot be denied by any man but to his peril. And it is echoed in the confession of Elizabeth as Mary is declared to be blessed among all women. Because though Mary is unique in having conceived the Son of God, all men are blessed through this gift. You see, all that is good and right essentially belongs to all. No sooner had the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she would be the mother of the Savior than she hurried off to visit a woman she knew would understand and share her joy, her relative Elizabeth, herself expecting the baby John the Baptist in her old age. This joy was to be shared. This good news was for everyone. The news was so great that the joy of it could not be withheld from even the babe that was within Elizabeth at their greeting. For John leapt for joy as Elizabeth shared her own joy and called Mary blessed. And by the inspiration of the Spirit, Mary sings the Magnificat, wherein it is declared that all generations will call me blessed. Indeed, it forms a very noble part of our liturgy in which we participate together in mutual joy. For though Mary is unique in who she is, it is not for who she is that she is blessed. So she notes by declaring that she is as herself but the humble estate of God's servant, verse 48. But she is blessed in that we are all blessed to have received what she at that time was receiving, her Savior. She acknowledges that she is a sinful human being like all people in need of being saved. For Mary to be blessed before all women is for her to have been one of the first to receive this wondrous news, this good news which was to be shared with the rest of the world as equally. But she received it first. Do you see? She was with the Savior before any other. But throughout it is abundantly clear that it is God who has done great things for her. She gives all glory to Him, verse 49, and keeps none for herself. Indeed, she deserves none, none of us do. But blessed is she, nonetheless, for as Elizabeth tells us, blessed is she because of the fruit of her womb. Though her future enduring fame and fortune would corrupt her place in the line of saints from the perspective of the Catholic Church, which would put any good marketing team today to shame, this was not her intended destiny, and she did not mean it to be. Rather, she would, unlike many mothers in this Platonic age of ours, protect her child and see to it that he would come to a healthy birth and would treat his body with as much respect as she would treat her own or any other living person, and more, for he was of course the very presence of God, the Christ to be, the now incarnate Lord already within her womb, not just for her, but for the world. And the church in which Christ still dwells is likewise blessed, not because of who we are, for we are all sinners who justly deserve God's present and eternal punishment, as we confess at the beginning of our divine service, and not because we measure up to the many things that He would name in His commandments, namely in loving God and our neighbor, and nor are we merely blessed because of our own personal ability to leap for joy at the sound of His name. Rather, we are blessed because of our faith, that is the trust we have in our Lord Jesus for salvation and His promise that He will be with us always to the end of the age. This isn't a happiness for the moment kind of joy. This is an eternal joy which cannot be separated from us, whether we feel blessed or not. To be blessed is a declaration. We are in the presence of the incarnate Christ, and no one can take that away from us. Here, where Christ has instituted the church, and where His word will live forever. Though the earth and the heavens pass away, here the ultimate source of every true blessing is given and received. Nowhere else. So Jesus enters Mary's womb, not as a personal revelation, not as something to be kept hid, but to share, to be mutually beneficial to all who will believe. At first this means the presence of Elizabeth and John, then to a few select disciples, then to the world. This happened so that He could fulfill all righteousness, so that He could die on the cross for us, so He could rise from the dead and sit on the right hand of God once again in power. So here we are, counting our blessings, that Christ has done what needed doing in order to take away my sin that had separated me from God and brought me back into His grace. and to continue to name my blessings, I realize they all point back to the same thing. For instance, in baptism, I am clothed with the righteousness of Christ's death, the heart of our blessedness before God, Galatians 3:27. And this blessing is further realized again in the bestowal of Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, where he comes to us with gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And as true blessings, God would have them presented to the world. And this he has given the church to do. And incidentally, it is our joy to do it. And every time Christ's word is preached or read, it presents him to us just as surely as did the angel's word to Mary, in order to present Christ to Elizabeth, to John, and to the world. And faith simply believes this promise, that whatever sadness or seeming lack of blessings we experience, God's blessing of forgiveness for us sinners is abundant, in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. You are a faithful listener, and together we are the resistance. If you're tired of all the postmodern rubbish going on all around us, and you too are in or near South Wales, you need to come join us. We are St. David's Lutheran Church, and we would love to meet you. You can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. This Sunday we have our usual program of Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. And if you miss that, you can even join us for an evening service now at 6 p.m. And that's not all. We've already come to the week of Christmas, so we have our service of lessons and carols this Thursday, Christmas Eve at 6:30 p.m. And to celebrate this most festive of occasions, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas Day, Friday, we will celebrate the first Nativity by having a communion service at 10 a.m. If you don't come here, find the nearest Lutheran church near you. This day and age is not the time to be afraid to stand up for the truth in which you believe, but to bear witness to it in the life you lead as an active Christian. In the least, I would hope you do not say you are embarrassed to come to church on any given Sunday. Your commitment to God in attending is a true confession in and of itself. And what's more, you never know for how long the mince pies and Christmas cookies will keep coming. As for next week in Faith That Functions, hopefully you have already celebrated in your own fashion the birth of our Lord in a church near you, for we already come to Exodus 13 as we have observed the first Sunday after Christmas, or indeed only the third day of Christmas, for if you'll remember there are a good 12 days of Christmas before Epiphany, and we will be looking again at how the Lamb of God has taken your and my place. So for now, I pray God's peace be with you. Now and always.